Welcome to the Busy Pastor Podcast. If you're interested in leadership and ministry coaching, go to busypastor.org/coaching. Join the Busy Pastor community today by going to busypastor.org and filling out the form. You'll receive more free resources, starting with our Fab 5 resource, helping you determine the five things only you can do. My name is Greg Gibson. I'm joined by my co-host, Trent Stewart, the lead pastor at Foothills Church. And today we are continuing our conversation on leading staff and creating staff values. Episode 26 of the Busy Pastor Podcast. Thank you to everyone who's followed along with the Busy Pastor, and welcome to all of our new listeners. As always, Trent, let's get right to the content. We're continuing our conversation on leading staff, and in particular, creating staff values. Mm-hmm. And let's begin just by giving an overview of our staff values here at Foothills Church. What are those again?
Yeah, number one, none of us is as smart as all of us, so collaboration is a big behavior that we're trying to create here. Do the right thing the right way. Honor, which is what we're going to talk about today. The behavior is honor. Number three is be proud of it or fix it, so the behavior there is ownership. We'll talk about that today. And then the last two we'll talk about in the next episode is play hard and work hard, so the behavior is fun. And then finally, never stop learning, and that behavior is development.
Okay, so let's get right into our second staff value here. Do the right thing the right way. And so Let's talk about honor for a second. So what is honor?
Well, honor is simply treating somebody with respect, conveying worth to them. And so we're using honor the way God intended within our staff. And so we want to create a healthy culture where people not just do the right thing, because you get people, this is the right thing to do. And so I tweeted about how, you know, terrible of a person you are. Well, you know, that's not the right thing to do or the right way. And so Romans 12:10 says, love each other with a genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. And so as a staff, we want to create a culture that really we are continuing this honor amongst ourselves. And so when we honor others, we're honoring God. And so we honor the God who created our coworkers and those that we're laboring with and serving with. We honor the Lord who called our staff members here. And we honor Jesus who works in and through our teams. And so that's huge. I mean, when we honor them, we can honor God. And that's a big part of what we want to develop here, because we've all been a part of staffs, probably, if you've been in ministry long enough. You've been a part where people are criticizing everything, and they're criticizing the pastor, they're criticizing this person, and gossiping about that. And that is a cancer that will kill your ministry. It will prevent your church from reaching anyone for Christ. And if you are critiquing everything, you're not going to learn anything. And so we want to create a commitment in our people to develop a culture here where we're honoring each other. And when you're a younger staff or when you have a smaller team, it's easy just to become buddies. And then if you grew up playing sports, you know, and stuff, you're giving each other a hard time, you're making fun of each other, and that's all kind of fun, you know, and it has its place. But that can also kind of go too far, where you're always, you know, making fun of each other or joking on each other and that kind of stuff. And then it kind of becomes unprofessional, and your people hear that. And that's not who you want to be as you grow as a church. And so you want to get to a point to where, you know, you actually honor each other. And so as a dad, when my kids honor each other, which, you know, they're teenagers, it doesn't happen a ton, but when it does, I'm my heart melts, you know, when I hear my son talk about, you know, his sister in a positive way or honor her in some way. And it's like, oh man, that makes me feel amazing. And I imagine that's how God feels too. But when you don't honor each other, you know, just imagine like guys on your team, like sitting in their office talking negatively about, you know, you as the lead pastor or as a staff member. When you do that, you're dishonoring that person. And when you dishonor him, you're actually dishonoring the Lord. So it's actually a sin issue.
Yeah.
And so that's not who we want to be. And I don't want my people on my team to act that way. I don't want people having hallway conversations, you know, where they're dishonoring somebody on the team and that conversation is happening. So we want to do this in the right way. So a statement that I give our team to use, and I don't even know where I read this, but it's just a good statement. When somebody says something that, you know, offends you, or you hear something and you're just offended in some way, or somebody says something that you hear, then it's a good thing to honor them in this way by just simply saying, hey, you said this, blah, 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 but I heard this. Because when somebody says something, maybe you hear it the wrong way. And so you want to explain, I you said this the other day, I heard this. I could be wrong, yeah. So help me clarify. What did you mean by that? If you would make that a statement that people on your staff consistently say to each other, a lot of conflict could get resolved, because you're going to say things and it's going to be like somebody's going to hear that wrong. They're going to hear it differently than what you said it. And when that happens, like, they could get all upset and mad and angry. They might want to start gossiping. But if we could teach our staff, hey, before you run and gossip and get all upset, just come to me and say, hey, you said this, but I heard that. I could be wrong. Can you clarify? I could say, oh man, no. That is not what I meant. I'm sorry that it came out that way, I didn't clarify or communicate well on that. That's not what I meant at all. This is what I meant. And then you could walk away from that and both of you go, oh, okay, well, cool. We're on the same team. We're on the same page here. You know, that statement in and of itself can help bring honor to your team. And I think that's huge. Proverbs 17:28 says, a perverse man stirs up conflict and a gossip separates close friends. If you allow gossip to happen on your staff, it's going to separate and disunify your staff. As the lead pastor, you can't allow it to happen. You've got to step in. You want to coach and teach, preach unity, coach and preach honor. And so I think that's a huge, huge part. And also say this, part of honoring is your body language. You know, when you're teaching, when you're having a conversation with someone, if their body language is they're disinterested, they're on their phone, they're not listening, they're not paying attention, you see them rolling their eyes or shaking their head or, you know, those verbal cues like that, that's not honoring either. So it's not just in what you say, but it's also in the body language that you, you know, present. And so a few practical ways that we want honor to kind of be demonstrated is, you know, we in professional settings, like in front of church members on Sunday mornings, I want people to refer to you as Pastor Greg, you know, to me as Pastor Trent, right? And so in private, you don't have to, you know, we're not asking people to do that in private, but just in that public setting, 1 Timothy 5:17 says, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. And so that title is in just saying that just has a, for us here, yeah, it's not for everybody, but for us, it just kind of has that level of honor. And so that's just one practical way that we do that.
Yeah. And I want to draw something out that you mentioned a moment ago that I think is so important for our conversation. You talked about Romans chapter 12, verse 10, and where Paul says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. And I think one part of that honor coin, one side of it is delighting, right, in how you show honor. And so, you know, I don't want to belabor this point because you already talked about it, but I do want to circle back to that and say, showing honor is not just like this discipline that we have to do. In some ways, like, showing honor should not be a labor.
Yeah.
It should be a delight.
Yeah.
And I think if it's a labor, then there's either two things happening. One, you're not in a great culture, or your heart is not in a great place.
Yeah.
And so you're going to have to do the hard work of determining, you know, which of those, maybe both, are true. But we want to be fighting to delight in honoring people, because as you said, Trent, just a moment ago, God is honored when we honor other people.
It's really a self-esteem issue if you can't honor someone or encourage someone. You know, you don't want to recognize how good this guy did in this area because you're afraid it might make you look not so good. That's very selfish. That's a self-esteem issue. That's a pride issue. And so you need to be generous with your encouragement. I think the scripture is clear. I think this is important, and I say all this because it's not because I need this as the lead pastor, but my team, they need this. Mm-hmm. They need to know what it looks like to honor their pastors and to honor their team members. I think we all have to learn to honor those who serve as pastors, as elders. One of the things that we've lost in our culture is this idea of honoring pastors, you know? And so many people diminish, make fun of. If you watch movies, the pastor on TV show and movies is always a weenie. I hate it. It always ticks me off. But like we need to build in our church a level of respect. And so one way that I think we can do this as a team is, you know, if somebody grabs me in the hallway on Sunday mornings and says, hey, I emailed Greg and, you know, I never heard back from him. You know, there's the moment right there, right, where this idea of behavior and honoring each other comes into play. I can say, yeah, he's not real good with social media, or he's not good with communication, or he's not. Or I can say something to the respect of something like this. I could say, you know, that doesn't sound like him. You know, maybe you use the wrong address, or you know, maybe something happened. He didn't get that. But then I'll go to that person and say, hey, did you get this email, whatever? And like, oh yeah, I didn't get that. No, I didn't see that, or whatever. Then we clear it up. But those are the moments where we can honor each other the most, when our church members come up to us and say something about one of the staff members that we have. I can either downplay them, make them look incompetent, or I can upplay that moment and I can say, that doesn't sound like him. I'll find out what's going on and leave it at that. Because I think honor leads to unity. Hmm. And when Greg knows that that's how I'm going to respond when people bring issues, now he's on my team. Now we're unified. We have each other's back and we're going to play together and collaborate together. I think that's huge as we look towards team unity.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the things that leads to unity is also what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, where he also says, love covers a multitude of sins. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think there is a part of showing honor to each other where there's sometimes where we need to kind of step into the space of confrontation, right, or peer-to-peer mm-hmm. accountability, like you've mentioned. But there's also a lot of times where we need to step into the space of just, hey, I'm going to let love cover that. I'm mm-hmm. going to move on. Like you said, this doesn't sound like Trent, or this yeah. doesn't sound like Greg. Maybe there's a lot going on. Maybe something's mm-hmm. happening at home, you know, and what we want to look for kind of in that is not areas or spaces that we can kind of step into and say, hey, you didn't honor me. But we want to look for opportunities to let love cover those things. But, you know, all that to say, if there is a pattern there,
yeah,
if the pattern presents itself, that's where I think the peer-to-peer accountability, the conversation begins to unfold. And in a way, that is honor, and it is going to lead to a deeper level of unity in your team.
And I would say, you know, what you just said, you know, maybe something's going on at home. That might cause them to be short, or might cause them to be lashing out or something. I would just go ahead and assume that there is something going on at home. There always is.
Always is.
I don't care if you've been in ministry for 50 years, you've been married for 50 years or not. Like, there's always something going on in somebody's marriage, with their kids, with their family, with their finances. There always is something going on. And that tension is going to come into the staff. So assume that. And then as the leader, I go into a conversation assuming that something's going on and something's happening. And so I can have a little bit more empathy as I deal with that. But this all comes down to unity as a staff. If you want to be unified as a staff, then you're going to learn to honor each other. And in fact, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:10, he says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. Man, that's a high calling, that we as a staff, as yeah. a church, would be perfectly united in mind and in thought. You've got to fight for that, pastors. And so in order to bring that unity, you've got to be around each other.
Two things.
I mean, there's got to be proximity. So you've got to be around each other. It's a good thing to hang out outside the walls of the church. It's a good thing to be in each other's life relationally. In fact, I would say you have to on some level. You can't do that with everybody on your team. But those who are, you know, reporting to you directly need that proximity. And then they need, secondly, just that consistency. So that consistent time together. So whether it's weekly meetings, monthly meetings, they're consistently around you. Because when that happens, then you can begin to develop that, what you would call mutual devotion. So proximity, consistency leads to mutual devotion. So we genuinely care about each other. We're devoted to each other. We're praying for each other. And we don't want to use them to get ministry done. We don't want to use people to get ministry done. I've heard different people say we want to use ministry to get people done. So in other words, people developed. And so to do that, we have to be in each other's lives. We have to be mutually devoted to each other and care about each other on a consistent basis.
Yeah, a couple rules of thumb for me in this is just I want people to feel valued all the time.
Yeah.
And then two, again, this isn't original to me or you or the busy pastor, but people remember how you make them feel.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the framework of this. And they rarely remember what you say. They rarely remember what you do, but they always remember how you make them feel. And the question here for this value is, are you treating people like you want to be treated?
Yeah.
And so let's talk about the third staff value here.
Okay.
Be proud of it or fix it.
Yeah. So what we're trying to accomplish here is a team that takes ownership, right? I don't want them to think of this as Trent's church or Trent's ministry or Trent's vision or Greg's vision. No, this is God's vision. This is God's church. One of the things I learned about ministry a long time ago was from my dad, and he was a pastor for 50 years, and he would always say that I'm the interim pastor of this church. I'm the interim pastor at Grace Baptist Church, and the idea there that he's trying to convey is, you know, this isn't his church, this isn't his vision, and he's only here for a season. This church is going to go on long, by God's grace, long after I'm gone, and so when we talk about ownership here, we're not saying that this, you know, I literally own this. No,
right.
What we're saying is we're taking responsibility for this vision and this ministry. And so we want people to feel part of it, but we also want them to feel like, yeah, this is, you know, what God is doing in us right here, right now through our ministry together. And so the idea of making it better is part of what we're always striving to do. We want to make it better. We want to make every ministry that we have better. I want to make, you know, my preaching ministry better, my leadership better. We're constantly striving, you know, to grow in that. So I'm willing to take coaching. I'm willing to take feedback. And so I think it's important that we teach that to our people. Like, we want to be a culture where we can coach and people are receiving that. If you aren't getting coached, if you're not taking feedback, then you're not going to grow. Just all there is to it. And if you don't want feedback, you're going to hit a leadership lid in your life. And so, you know, it's important that we're making it better. We're getting coaching, we're getting feedback. And, that's just a huge part, I think, of what we want to create here. I think a part of that growth happens with what we've mentioned, you know, the peer-to-peer accountability. And it's not just the pastor who's always coaching, but we're coaching each other and encouraging each other in those ways. And you know, I heard someone say one time, everyone needs to be celebrated and no one tolerated. So that idea is, I don't want to avoid anybody on my team. Like, because of how they act or because of how they interact, I don't want to find myself trying to avoid that person because I don't want to interact with them. No, I want to walk in love with them. And so that means that if I'm perceiving that behavior, or something, you know, is happening that's creating that tension, then I'm willing to go sit down and talk about it and say, man, this tension is here. Why is it here? I don't want it to be here. I want us to be on the same page. And, you know, I may be wrong, but your body language looked this way or you came across this way. And I want to make sure you honor Pastor Trent, or you're honoring this person or that person. I want our team to be able to do that together with that peer accountability.
Yeah, and I think that's such a novel idea, man. Just thinking about how you head up on a swivel, thinking about celebrating everyone, not avoiding or tolerating. And I think that staff value is so many ways built on the previous one, which is honor, right? So, hey, because you're someone who's different than me, I'm not going to move you out of my life, or you have a different gift set or personality than me. I'm not going to avoid you. I'm not even going to tolerate you, but I'm going to intentionally practice showing honor, showing love, and practicing being a part of the body of Christ. And so I think that's going to take your staff, your church, to the next level in so many ways.
Absolutely. And just kind of as a practical note, you know, one of the things that I found in our staff as we were trying to create this is that I would hear people say comments like your vision, or your ministry. And so they would make that comment just kind of unknowingly, you know, referring to like the student pastor as, you know, well, your ministry, that, you know, the next generation ministry or the student ministry, your ministry. And it's like, wait a minute, we want to get away from saying their ministry or their vision, and to really take ownership. We want to hear people start saying like our vision, our ministry.
Yeah.
And that way, you know, even that small change starts to help the team realize, okay, this is my vision. This is our vision, right? I'm a part of this. And so that means that I'm more personally invested and personally involved in moving it forward.
I think so. And I think that is exactly what we want to be about here at The Busy Pastor, thinking about the question, what am I doing to improve everything, right? Yeah. What am I doing to improve my marriage, my parenting, my team, and when it comes to this conversation on today's episode, my staff.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Busy Pastor Podcast. As we close today's episode, we want to invite you to do a few things. Join the Busy Pastor community today by going to busypastor.org and filling out the form. You receive more free resources, starting with our Fab 5 resource, helping you determine the 5 things only you can do. Also, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Busy Pastor. And if you like today's episode, subscribe to The Busy Pastor and leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Next week, we are continuing our conversation on being busy leading staff, specifically in regard to creating staff values. The Busy Pastor Podcast is produced by Andrew Lindstrom, video production Jake Tipton, audio engineer Brian Papik, music by Brandon Sharp, and graphics by Zach Shaddix. See you next week. Until then, let's be busy with the right things.
Thank you so much for tuning into our YouTube page. Hit subscribe, share it with your friends, and don't forget to comment below. New episodes come out every Thursday. For more content and to join the Busy Pastor community, visit busypastor.org.